This is UN in Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. In this week's program, a Ugandan man left on death row for 18 years says it's not easy to forgive those responsible for his suffering. And a senior peacekeeping official says allegations of chemical weapons use in Darfur show the need to end the conflict there. But first, very serious challenges remain on the ground in South Sudan, which are preventing the United Nations from carrying out its work effectively. That's the assessment of a senior UN peacekeeping official who is currently in the African country. South Sudan is recovering from almost 3 years of internal conflict, which has led to the deaths of tens of thousands of people and forced some 2.6 million to flee their homes. The UN Security Council has called for the free movement of personnel working for the mission there, UNMISS, and for the establishment of a regional protection force. Sebit William asked El Khasim Wani, Assistant Secretary General for Peacekeeping Operations, what he had achieved during his visit.
We see the opportunity of the visit, of course, to assess the situation. We discussed a number of issues of common concern linked to the deployment of the regional protection force, which was mandated by the Security Council in Resolution 2304. We discussed issues linked to the freedom of movement for UNMISS and for the humanitarian community. As you know, we face very serious challenges on the ground, and we believe that it is important that every effort be made, that full cooperation be availed to UNMISS and to the humanitarian community to enable them to implement their mandate in support of the people of South Sudan. And the efficiency of the support they can extend depends, on the level of cooperation they receive from the South Sudanese stakeholders. So it's a point we have made to the South Sudanese, to our South Sudanese interlocutors. We emphasize, of course, the urgency of the deployment of the RPF. We also emphasize the importance of continued efforts to ensure an inclusive implementation of the peace process to enable us indeed achieve the peace and security that the people of South Sudan have been yearning for many, many years.
Just recently, the government came out, of course, and said they have accepted the deployment of the protection force to South Sudan. Do we know when this will be effective?
Well, we are working to ensure that the deployment takes place as quickly as possible. As you may know, there are a number of conditions that need to be met and that need to be created to facilitate that process. The government has consented to the deployment. We have some details to resolve, and we hope that those details will be resolved quickly to enable us to proceed with the deployment. And the sooner the force is here, the better, we believe, because the force will contribute indeed to creating a better sense of security and helping create conditions for an inclusive implementation of the peace process.
A Ugandan man who lived for more than 18 years on death row says it's not easy to forgive, in his own words, everybody who participated in my suffering. But that's exactly what Edward Pangi has been able to do, taking his call for the abolition of the death penalty worldwide, all the way to UN headquarters in New York. Matthew Wells asked Mr. Pangi to explain how he ended up in prison back in the early 1980s.
I was convicted of murdering somebody who was still alive in 1982, and my appeal was confirmed that I should die in 1983. Then I was struggling to appeal to other organizations to fight for my life.
I mean, it's extraordinary to think that the man you were accused of murdering was still alive, and everyone could see that.
And because of poor investigation, the policemen and the CIDs, their investigation is so poor because of corruption. That's why they confirmed that the man had died when he was still alive.
And so you were put onto death row?
Yeah, I was put on death row, and I spent there 18 years and a half. 18. And by that time, executions were taking place. Because they executed about 52, and I'm there and condemned. And somebody would cry and say, I'm dying, but I'm innocent.
And how many people do you think are now going through the experience that you went through?
We have about 187 men on death row and 13 women on death row, and some are innocent.
Do you personally think that the death penalty is acceptable in any circumstances? I mean, some people say, oh yes, it should be allowed for, say, terrorists, for example.
Death penalty should be abolished.
And what do you say to those people that do believe that the death penalty is a valuable deterrent?
No, it's not a deterrent. because people, the execution is condemned is still there in Uganda. Example in Uganda, maybe you should do something very serious to kill even all the witnesses. But I appeal to the countries that there should be abolish the death penalty so that we see the change.
Now that you're free, do you think that you'll ever get back to normal, that you'll ever be able to forgive, in a sense, those years that you spent in jail?
I forgive everybody who participated in my suffering because I learned a lesson in it. And now my appeal is that people should support me because my children never went to school because I was away. And I have begun to construct buildings so that I can teach the children of those prisoners and of HIV victims.
So you don't bear any personal grudges against your jailers or others?
No, I don't have any grudge with anybody. Forgiving is not easy. It's not an easy thing. Because I forgave when I was still in condemn. Things can happen, but I said, I have forgiven them. May God forgive them too.
So you have no anger?
I have no anger. And I appeal to all Ugandans and all worldwide to leave that anger. Since I went in prison, I've been sharing the Bible. And the word of Jesus says you should forgive to be forgiven.
Do you think that it's possible in your lifetime that the death penalty will be ended in Uganda?
Yeah, by God's grace it will be ended because people will come to know the truth and the truth will set them free. Therefore, if they abolish it, those in power now, the parliamentarian, if they abolish the death penalty, it will be better. Not only in our country, but worldwide.
A report on alleged chemical weapons use in the Darfur region of Sudan underscores the need to bring an end to the ongoing conflict there, the head of UN peacekeeping told the Security Council on Tuesday. Hervé Latsou was referring to an investigation released last week by Amnesty International, which found that at least 30 suspected chemical attacks have taken place so far this year in the Jebel Mara region. Deanne Penn has the story.
Mr. Latsou told council members that the UN had not come across any evidence of chemical weapons use in the Jebel Mara, where fighting between Sudanese government forces and a rebel group known as the Sudan Liberation Movement, Abdul Wahid, has displaced thousands of civilians since January. The peacekeeping chief said access restrictions imposed by Khartoum mean that the African Union United Nations Hybrid Mission in Darfur, or UNAMID, cannot monitor the impact of the fighting.
I have to note further that an initial assessment by the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons has stated that without further evidence, without further information being made available, it is not possible at this stage for that organization to draw any conclusions based on the content of the Amnesty International report. So I would therefore encourage the government of Sudan to extend its full cooperation to any future OPCW investigation, as actually the government of Khartoum has expressed it was ready to do so in its statements to the media following the publication of the report.
On the political front, the Sudanese government and four rebel groups recently signed a roadmap agreement aimed at ending conflicts in the country. However, subsequent talks broke down over disagreements related to expanded humanitarian access and a cessation of hostilities in Darfur, as well as in South Kordofan and Blue Nile states, known as the two areas. Sudan's UN ambassador, Omer Dahab Fadli, said the door is open to all willing to work for peace and stability. He spoke through an interpreter.
Abdul Wahid and his rebels, on the other hand, have rejected all initiatives and all appeals for peace and negotiation and are counting on support offered by some countries. I would like to call upon all of those providing protection and support to put an end to these things and bring pressure to bear on the movement to ensure that it join efforts in Darfur.
More than 2 million people have been displaced by fighting in Darfur between government troops and militia, which began 13 years ago. Mr. Latsous, the UN's top peacekeeping official, said the Amnesty International report showed that ending the Darfur conflict must remain a top priority of the international community. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN in Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.